from the wisdom of God. I was talking with someone this morning in my house, and I asked the person a question. Everybody look up. I asked the person a question this morning, and the question I asked, I want to ask that question here. And the question is, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? That's the question. What was the reason for the Lord Jesus to curse the fig tree that he met on his way with his disciples? Do I have any answer here?
Praise God.
Amen.
Unproductivity.
Can you be audible for them to hear?
Unproductivity.
Unproductivity. Okay, Jesus cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was not productive. Is there another answer? Who has another answer as to why Jesus cursed the fig tree? How many of us know the story of the fig tree when Jesus was hungry? And he met, okay, give him the mic, please. Okay, why did Jesus curse the fig tree?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I would say that he caused the fig tree because when he came to the fig tree, there was no fig in it. Then they passed by.
Okay, there was no fig in it. Now notice the fig tree produces figs. Just like you have mango. Mango is what they call the fruit. So the fig tree has a fruit it produces that is called figs. Continue.
And that's supposed to be the time for the fig tree.
That's supposed to be the time for the fig tree to do what?
To produce. So when they came back, he couldn't find the fruit on the tree.
So that's why he cursed it. But man of God, you are wrong. Thank you for your answer, but you're wrong. Your answer is also not accurate. Let me look for one last answer. Thank you for your submission. Are you getting me? Your submission is the mainstream submission. When I say mainstream, is the known reason as to why Jesus caused the fig tree, but that was not the reason why. Let me get one last answer. You will not speak because I discussed it with you this morning. Okay, he wants to try. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree?
Jesus cursed the fig tree because the time when the fig tree was supposed to produce fruit,
okay,
it did not produce. Okay. Despite extra time being given to the tree to produce, still yet the fruit did not come.
Uncle, your answer is out of alignment. It is out of alignment. You are establishing the fact they were talking about. Your answer is the same thing with their own. Are you getting me? Then you are not talking about Jesus gave him more time. But that's not, the fig tree was not the one that Jesus gave more time. It was the case of the vine yard owner and his vine dresser, and he came to a particular fig tree, and 3 years the fig tree was not producing. That's where we are running to today. But that one had nothing to do with the fig tree Jesus caused. Are you getting me? So what was the reason Jesus caused the fig tree? So let's see if you were both correct. Matthew 11. Okay, run to Mark 11 first. Mark 11, verse 12 to 14. I want to touch this before I get to my message. What I'm talking this morning is actually borrowed time. And the burden, I wouldn't call it a message as per the normal. I would call it a burden because it's something that after being uttered should actually drive us to a place of seriousness with God and to a place of prayer, even to a place of consecration. Mark 11, 12 to 14. You can help us to read, sir. Help us to read. Mike, help us to read. Mark 11. Mark 11, 12 to 14. Everybody listening.
Amen.
Amen.
12 to 14.
Uh-huh.
And on the morrow,
uh-huh,
when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry.
Now, so Jesus was what? Hungry. I'm coming. There are some people that are spiritual men. Now, when they feel hungry, they feel as though they're in the flesh. Are you getting me? When they are hungry, they feel as though they're in the flesh. But Jesus, the a manifestation of the entirety of true spirituality, he was hungry. So when you're hungry, don't consider yourself to be in the flesh. Continue.
And seeing a fig tree
now
afar,
Jesus saw a fig tree afar,
of having leaves.
The fig tree had leaves.
He came.
If happily he
might find any.
Jesus came if peradventure he might find fruit on the fig tree. Continue.
And when he came on it.
And when he came on it,
he found nothing.
He found nothing but leaves.
But for the time of the fig,
time of the figs
was not yet.
Was not yet. Are you seeing the reason why I said your answer was not right? You can see that. The time for the producing of figs had not come. For instance, now this is the month of September. If you go to a mango tree now, will you see mango? You go to an odara, what do they call odara in English? Cherry. You go to a cherry tree now, you wouldn't see. Because it's during our time period that fruit will begin to come out. So the Bible said here that for the time of the figs was not yet. So it was not the season for the fig tree to produce fruit. So if it is not the season for it to produce fruit, why would the Lord, desiring fig from it, still go there and curse that tree? Now, let me make the answer clear. Jesus saw the fig tree afar off having leaves. Anybody that knows what they call the fig tree doesn't produce fruit like other trees. Other trees will produce green leaves first of all, and after a season, the fruit will come out. Are we together? But for the fig tree, the way of the fig tree is that the fruit will come out first, and the leaf will come out first, and the fruit will come out, then the leaf will come out. Get me clear? The fruit comes first for the fig tree. You wouldn't see leaves, but the fruit will come out, then afterwards you will now see leaves. So if from afar you sight leaves in the fig tree, you know that there is already fruit. But for the normal tree, you will first see what? Leaves before fruit. I don't know if I'm communicating. Now, but the fig tree has this pattern. You can study the fig tree. It has fruit first of all, then leaves. Once fruit start coming, leaves will not be coming, which is not the normal way for the average tree. So Jesus saw leaves. Those leaves he had seen from afar should have meant that there are already what? Fruit. You are not following me. Don't worry. The journey is a long one, and we have time. So the leaves he saw from afar means that fruit is already what? There. Because after fruit comes, leaves come. So when you see leaves, you know that fruit is already there. So Jesus saw the leaves. The Bible said, and he found nothing but leaves. So when he came there, the fruit was not there. So in other words, he had to, because of the hunger in his system, because of that expectation. For instance, you were very hungry, you went to a restaurant to eat, and they told you they are bringing the food, and you waited 30 minutes. All of a sudden, they came and told you that there is no food available. In your anointedness, you may want to rain curses. Now, what nonsense? So, Jesus cursed the tree because of an appearance of deceit. He caused the tree because of deceit, because of guile. Now, other fig trees were not having leaves. They were not having leaves on fire, but this particular one had leaves, which Jesus saw, which means that fruit should have been there, because it was not the season at all. So, when it's not the season, the fig tree should not even have leaves. It should not even have leaves nor fruit. If you see a fig tree normally, when it's outside the season, you will see it as one kind of dry tree. But when the season comes, you will see fruit comes, then leaves come. So in this particular scenario, Jesus had seen leaves, which means that fruit should have been there. But he went and didn't see what he anticipated. So on that basis of deception, because it deceived his expectation, so he actually cursed the tree. In verse 14, and Jesus said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Hallelujah. So I want you to pay attention. We are going to come to the case of this fig tree. We will come there. But I just decided to ask the question first of all. What I'm talking this morning is on borrowed time. And that's a parable of Luke chapter 13. Go to Luke chapter 13 with me. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Luke 13 from verse 6 to 9. I read. Jesus spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Give me a little volume. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit and found none. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking. Amen. So verse 7, it says, then said he unto the vine, the dresser of the vine, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit, thank you, on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In verse 8, we're reading Luke chapter 13 from verse 6 to 9. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now we have seen this reading. You'll find out that the fig tree is always mentioned in scriptures. And the tree is always a victim of cutting down. Always false victim. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what they used to cover themselves was a fig leaf. It was a fig leaf they used to cover themselves before God took skin from an animal and dressed them. So, the story is concerning the fig has been of ancient. It's a long time thing. So this particular vine owner came to his vineyard looking for fruit from that fig tree. The fig tree had nothing to show for year one, for year two, and how many years finally? 3 years. So the owner of the vine comes and says, since this fig tree is in my vineyard, and since it's not producing fruit, what's the essence? What's the use? I will cut it down. So the owner in this picture represents Father God. And there was a vine dresser that came and told the owner, give it more time. The picture of the vine dresser here happens to be our mediator. That is the mediator of the new covenant. That's in the person of the Lord Jesus. So he says to the Father, give it more time. Allow it a little more time. Perhaps it will bring fruit. That's verse 8. He answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, but if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now this is where the story of the borrowed time comes in. The vine dresser pleaded for a borrowed time for the fig tree that was supposed to be cut down. So what did the owner of the vineyard do? He accepted. He accepted and said okay. But the promise from the vine dresser was that this year, that was to be at the end of that year. So the man accepted. if you look prophetically and symbolically, you see that its symbolic significance is two. There is the nation of Israel here, and there is individual personalities. Are we following at all? What I want to run here is a sensitive teaching that I just want everybody to follow. The tree represents two things. Number one, the nation of Israel, and number two, individual humans. Now, in the case of the nation of Israel, see how it represents. How many years had Jesus done ministry by this time? Pardon? Okay, his ministry was 3.5 years. Thank you so much. So by this time, Jesus had done 3 years of ministry. This was going towards the close of his ministry. John had also done 3 years. So, how many years did the vine dresser agree with the owner of the vine for fruit to start coming? He said that particular year. That is to the end of it. He didn't mean it was still going to be even up to a full year. He said, allow it this year also. So maybe it could have been the beginning of the year. So he said, maybe at the end, allow it. So Jesus had done 3 years of ministry, likewise John, the herald. And this fig tree had been useless for how many number of years? 3 years. So these 3 years, the fig tree had been useless. And symbolically, the ministry of Jesus had also been for 3 years. So this is actually a picture of the nation of Israel. The Lord had allowed Israel for a while to come to alignment. Jesus had been preaching, doing miracles. Matter of fact, Jesus began his ministry. And if you read the beginning of the gospel, each of the gospel accounts, he said he began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is what at hand. That was the beginning of his message. So Jesus had been doing miracles for these 3 years, healing the sick, raising the let me not use the word raising the dead by this time. He had been doing specific miracles, even sending his disciples to go out and continue the miracles. But Israel had not come to bear fruit. Mark what I said. I said Israel had not come to bear what? Fruit. Don't forget that when John was preaching, he was talking about when he was preaching in the wilderness, he was telling the children of Israel to bring fruit, meat for repentance. You notice the word fruit, right? So Israel is a picture of that fig tree. So 3 years solid ministry of the Lord, yet the people of Israel were not coming to acknowledge the Father. Don't forget that during the days of Elijah was having several manifestations and miraculous occurrence in his ministry. But the children of Israel, the Bible said, they answered him not a word. To the extent that Elijah came to now beg them. He said, okay, if God be God, follow God. And if Baal be Baal, what? Follow Baal. And the Bible said the children of Israel answered him not a word. They didn't respond to him. So that was to show the hardness of their hearts. Are we together? So that was to show the hardness of their heart. The people of Israel rejected Elijah. So Elijah's own bringing of these people to repentance was by force. In the sense that in 1 Kings 18, he had to call down the fire. And when the fire came, by force, the children of Israel, they on their knees, they went down and said, the Lord is God. And they said again, the Lord is God. That's the repentance wise. And Elijah, doing it by force, summoned all the prophets of Baal that was deceiving the state of Israel. And he killed all of them. So his own ministry of repentance was by aggression. So they needed to have seen the fire to have believed that the Lord is God. Because they were worrying after Baal. If you're feeling weak, you just stand up, please. Hallelujah. So Jesus had a ministry for 3 solid years. There was no result of the children of Israel turning to God. there was no fruit that had come forth from that tree. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? 3 years solid ministry by the Lord. The people were not yielded, but they didn't know that they were on a borrowed time. Israel didn't know that they were what? On a borrowed time. So when Jesus says to the Father, allow it for this year, just this particular year, maybe you want to cut it down, allow it later this year, let me have time to work on it. Then what Jesus did, don't forget, I said this parable represents this nation of Israel and individuals, right? And now I'm expounding on the fact that Israel is in the picture. So what Jesus did was that he performed the miracle of miracles, the miracle of all miracles, and that's the miracle of resurrection. It is after this scenario that you hear the case of Lazarus, 4 days in the land of the dead. And Jesus went and called forth Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus resurrected. And Israel had not seen it in that manner. Perhaps Elijah the Tishbite had done miracles, the prophet had done, Elijah had the evidence of resurrection, but the resurrection he had not even crossed 24 hours there. But Jesus had the one of 4 solid days. The Bible said, and the Jews that were there believed, but the chief priests, they gathered together, they said they should kill him lest all Israel should follow him. But the purpose of the Son of Man was that the entire state of Israel will corporately come to the Father. The program of God for Israel was not just individual repentance. Hear me very clear, because there were some Israelites that were coming to the Lord in repentance. Matter of fact, all the disciples of Jesus, none of them was a Gentile. They were all Jews. Are we together? All of them were all Jews. So Jesus, I have told us before, his ministry was not to the Gentiles. His ministry was strictly to the Jews. And he said, I have not come but for the lost sheep of Israel. So he came directly for the children of Israel. That's why the Gentile woman that came to him for a miracle for her daughter, Jesus said, I will not give the children's bread to dogs. The children are the Jews. The Gentiles are seen as the dogs because they were outside the door. So that program of God is to bring salvation to Israel, and Israel will run the baton to other nations. So Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles according to Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 49. So 3 years of solid ministry. But the children of Israel had not, don't forget, I said corporately. When I mean corporately, it is together. During the age of the tribulation, when Israel will come to the Lord, hear me clear, it is together. They will come corporately as a people. The program of God for Israel is not just individual, it's not one person. Jacob should turn, as in come together. All of them together, as a people, they entered Egypt. And as a people, they corporately also came out of Egypt. Are you getting? So God's program for Israel is always corporate, not just individual. So Peter preached and 3,000 Jews repented. That was not enough. The program of God for the Jews is that together they turn to the Lord. When Noah preached to Nineveh, what happened? Nineveh as a city repented. Not just, do you think that you couldn't have found one righteous man in Nineveh? No, you would. But God demanded that Nineveh as an entire city turns to him. So they didn't come, they came corporately. So because they had come corporately, the Lord actually forgave them. And that made Jonah angry. So what's the essence of my speech today? Israel did not know that they were on a borrowed time. Jesus wouldn't have performed that miracle of the resurrection, but he did it, something that had crossed over 4 days, and Lazarus came forth. Matter of fact, when Jesus said, Lazarus shall live again, what did Martha respond? He said, Lord, I know he shall live again on that day. Martha was citing the resurrection day. You know, many people said Martha didn't have faith, but Martha had faith. She believed in the resurrection. There is no greater faith than believing in the resurrection through Christ. because that is the climax. That is the climax of God's program for man, where he clothes man with unending immortality. So what am I saying?